Officials in Arizona this week tested their ability to guard against the enemy within. They staged a practice drill of a biochemical attack. It's thought to be one of the biggest such efforts in the country. And from member station KJZZ in Tucson, Mark Moran reports.
This bioterrorism drill was billed as the first large-scale test of a community's ability to mass dispense emergency medication in the case of a bioterror attack. For 3 days, Tucson health officials, police, firefighters, medics, and doctors gathered in the city's convention center to figure out how ready this city is for a biochemical attack. So they invented a mock scenario in which a conference taking place at the fictional XYZ Hotel was attacked. Les Cade with the Tucson Fire Department describes the drill.
Well, in Tucson, what had happened was XYZ conference was here. A very aggressive terrorist group came out, much like a suicide bombing into the scenario, was that these two individuals that came into the conference and released the fire extinguishers had this agent, anthrax, pressurized in a military or weapon form, a weapon-grade anthrax, and released it.
Cade explains that's where the drill began. Tucson officials had to call the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. To test its quickness, the CDC actually dispatched 6 tons of emergency medical supplies, including antibiotics, from the National Pharmaceutical Stockpile. The drugs arrived within 10 hours at the Tucson Convention Center. That's where hundreds of volunteers showed up to play the role of victims of anthrax inhalation. Medical staff gave out questionnaires to determine if victims were indeed exposed to anthrax spores, then sent them to pharmacists wearing white lab coats stationed at tables around the convention center. That's where the victims put the pharmacist to the test, with lots of worried questioning.
Now, will this medication, if I take it as directed, absolutely prevent me from getting the anthrax, or is it still somewhat of a hit and miss?
To the best of our knowledge, if you take the medication regularly for 60 days, it should prevent it in the event that any of those spores in your body decide to hatch. So it's a preventative measure.
Even though we went through that decontamination process and all that, is there any way I could have had any of the spores on my blazer, thrown it in my car?
The victims are given a 10-day course of antibiotics with the promise of another 50-day supply later. Most people want their 60-day supply right now and have been trained as part of this drill to test the pharmacist's abilities to calm agitated and panicky victims. Health officials were able to dispense medication to more than 1,000 people over the course of 1 day. That gave medical experts some idea of how many victims they could treat in 1 hour in the event of a real emergency. But for health officials to respond to an actual attack, they must be able to get the supplies they need in short order, and a potential problem exists there. The CDC is responsible for getting the drugs and other materials to the affected areas within 12 hours. But Tara O'Toole of Johns Hopkins University says most states lack a specific plan for getting their share of the supplies from the airport to the site where they'll be dispensed.
During the anthrax attacks of 2001, in one state, a state health official actually used his own credit card to buy baggies in which to put ciprofloxacin, to distribute to individuals. So we don't have all of the various steps and pieces of distribution of large numbers of antibiotics or vaccines worked out yet. We've never done this before on an emergency basis in America.
Dr. O'Toole, who heads the Center for Civilian Biodefense Strategies, says that's why drills such as this one are so important. Medical workers get hands-on experience with victims, and health officials get practice dealing with each other as well.
In bioterrorism in particular, you're going to have responders who do not normally work with each other having to cooperate. So you're going to have public health officials, for example, working with police and with members of the medical community. Just knowing the name of the person that you need to call for something and what that person and his or her agency can do turns out to be extremely valuable.
Tara O'Toole says in the few other cities that have run similar drills, there's been a tendency to reinvent the wheel each time. This week, the CDC videotaped the Tucson exercise and is hoping to develop a blueprint other cities can use. For NPR News, I'm Mark Moran in Tucson.
Thank you.
Thank you.